The Holy Gospel today comes from the 17th chapter of John, the first 11 verses. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to take a journey with me real quick down what I like to call the rabbit hole. And Christians today, we fear the rabbit hole sometimes. In fact, we think it is blasphemous to go down the rabbit hole, but I really want you to do this with me. I want you to consider for a moment the nature of God as God has been spoken about throughout time. And I'm not looking for answers, but I do want you to think this through in your mind, okay? I'm going to say a few things, and I really, really want you to think them through. Think about a God who we say is all-knowing, knows absolutely everything there is to know. A God who is all-powerful, a God who can do absolutely anything God wants to do. And a God who we say is all-knowing. Loving. Imagine this God who creates life and then creates a way for a portion of that life to go to eternal punishment. Think about that. Or think about a God who creates life, this beautiful, beautiful life where we experience love and the amazing beauty of God's creation. But the purpose is just to work really hard to get to this next life. Think that through. Or that God creates the first people, Adam and Eve, and this amazing plan that these first people would live in this beautiful place, that they would experience no pain, that they would not experience death, and that they would experience only joy. And that was the plan for people. And then suddenly, the very first ones screw up the plan. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, God's got a terrible batting record. Think about that. Or the devil. That God would create these people whom God loves, but then have this other entity that sole purpose would be to go out and harm those people. Or that salvation would be conditional on a very narrow set of beliefs. Think about that. Ask yourself why. I've had many conversations with people where I've had these But I've asked, why? Why do we believe these specific things about God? And often the answer is, I don't know, it's just God. Almost as though God is that because I said so kind of a parent. And I struggle with that as a pastor. I struggle with that as someone who believes in a God that we say is all-powerful, all-knowing, and full of love. I struggle with it to such an extent that's right there that forced me to leave the church for a while. I don't want to be a part of a church that says those kinds of things. I don't want to be a part of a church that believes in that kind of a God. And I struggle with it. And I struggle when I hear people with those kinds of expressions today. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I heard it summed up beautifully, why I struggle with this. And it was with a philosopher by the name of Martin Buber. Martin Buber was a 20th century Jewish philosopher, born in Austria, grew up in Germany. I think he was nominated for 11 Nobel Writing Awards and 7 Nobel Peace Prizes. In 1923, Martin Buber wrote a book called I and Thou. And the premise of his book was that we as people experience life in two ways. The first he called the I-it way. And that was that we experience things around us as an it. These pews, this pulpit, those walls, these things are separate from us. They are distinct. We don't really have any kind of a connection with them. We experience them in that the walls provide us shelter. This pulpit here gives me something to stand on. Those pews provide awful cushion for your butts. I think it's to keep you awake, honestly. But we experience them, yet they are separate from us. We can look at them and say that they are its. But it's not just with inanimate objects, it's with people too. And you consider words that we use in everyday life, words like he, she, they, a big one within Christian circles, homeless people, or today, liberal, conservative, evangelical, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Jew. All of these are words of the I-it mentality. They describe things that are separate from us, things that we are not necessarily connected to. And it happens even with people. And then the second one, Martin Buber said, was the I-thou relationship. And that was how we encounter things in which we are connected to. Things that we have a relationship with. You think about this. This happens any time you have a conversation with someone and you use the word you. Thank you. I love you. How are you? Just that simple word right there immediately infers a connection, a relationship, a dialogue. A woman by the name of McKenna Berry told a story of her relationship with I-it versus I-thou, and she did a lot of work with churches, injustice work, and a lot of it was with homeless people. And she thought back to how constantly in her work, people with these massive hearts who just worked tirelessly for others, but they would sit around tables and plan and constantly use the phrase, homeless people, these homeless people. And it just felt wrong to her until finally, as she was working with homeless people, she started asking them what their names were. She started using the word you when she would engage with them, and it started transforming everything in her life. She would go and help people and not just see a homeless woman, but a mother or a daughter or most especially a child of God. When she would sit around tables with other people as they were planning and talking about homeless people, someone would talk about a specific case and she would say, what is that person's name? Oftentimes they'd say, I don't know. They never thought to ask. It immediately transformed the way that she began to engage with the world. Martin Buber said the whole point of human life is that it finds its meaning in relationships. So as a pastor, I think about this all the time. Why do we struggle with our call as Christians? Why do we struggle with loving other people unconditionally? And I got to say, I think it's because we first assume that our own relationship with God is an I-it relationship. These statements that I made above, these statements that I have heard out from other people, they come from thinking that God looks at us, at God's creation, as an it, as though we are separate and distinct from God, as though we are something that God experiences, but not necessarily something that God is connected to in a relationship. And that affects how we relate to other people. That's why we use words like liberal or conservative or evangelical or Protestant or homeless person. If we think that we are an it to God, it doesn't make sense for us to turn around and speak to others as a thou, as a you. That's why we have some Christians who go out in the world and just simply want to save souls. It's why we have other Christians who go out in the world and just want to create relationships and partnerships and love. Jesus' prayer for us today in our gospel is that we would know we are called into I-thou relationships. He says two things in our gospel text. He says first that eternal life, and I love this, maybe my favorite definition of heaven. Eternal life is that we would know God and that we would know Jesus. It's not that we act a certain way. It's not that we try to get to this beautiful place after we die. It is simply that while we are here in this life, that we would just simply know God and know Jesus. And then he goes on to close his prayer, and he says, Father, may they be as one, just as you and I are one. His prayer for us is that we would know, each and every single one of us know, that to God, you are a you. You are precious. You are loved. You were created with a purpose. You have meaning and value. That's how God created you. That's who you are to God. You are loved. To know that, to feel that, and then to turn around and share that with those around you, to be one as people, just as Jesus and God are one. To drop those things that keep us separate and distinct and connect with each other and love each other. For those who have lost their value, their names, have lost their thous, to remind them that they are precious and loved too. I said it before, I left the church for a long time because I was sick of it and I thought it was hypocritical. But honestly, what brought me back was to have a person in my life tell me that God loved me for who I am and that I was precious. That's it. And it was so powerful, it brought me to a pathway in which I wanted to do that for others, to be able to stand up here and just tell you every Sunday how loved you are. That's it. And it's a dream. And honestly, as someone with a master's degree in theology and 5 years of education and enough student debt to last a few lifetimes, with all of that knowledge that I have, if I could sum up our faith, my call, your call, into one thing, it would be nothing more or less for each and every one of you to just know God and know that you are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.